Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great. And here we are, Christmas night.
Christmas night, yeah.
Wow.
And we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas from the entire staff of Gift of Grace Ministries.
That's you and I.
That would be you and I.
Me and you.
We'd like to
however you want to put it.
And we'd like to wish all four of our listeners a Merry Christmas. And
I know that's our wives.
Who are the other, probably, who are
the other, who are those other two people
we probably
that
have it's understandable that we probably have a small audience today.
Could be.
Because you're probably still all doing family things and celebrating, or else you're all full from eating and hungover and you're half asleep.
Too much eggnog?
But anyway, here we are, Christmas Day. I can't even believe it.
I know.
In another week, it'll be 2017.
Yes.
I can't even believe it.
I know.
It was just like Y2K, and that's already 17 years ago.
Yeah.
It's, and it's already been almost, you know, it's 15 and a half years since 9/11, and it just seems hard to believe.
It does.
And time just keeps moving, and, but, you know, we're here celebrating the birth of the Messiah, and
Amen.
We don't know, and we're going to keep doing it until
he comes back.
He comes back. And if he comes back tonight, that'd be awesome.
That would be.
If he comes back a year from tomorrow, then we can get one more in. But we're going to be doing it until he comes back. And even though the Bible doesn't tell us to celebrate his birth, it would be kind of weird to not commemorate the fact that the Messiah came into the world, that God came into time in a human body, entered history, entered the human experience. It's all pretty amazing.
It is. I mean, it is. You know, it's interesting. I know we're going to get to the Christmas narrative.
Yeah.
But how...
That'll be four shows from now. No, just kidding.
How many Christmas shows are we going to do? Like five or six?
It's going to go on until February.
But, you know, with all the prophecies about the coming of the Messiah, the anticipation, this is a big event. The biggest event in human history is the birth of Messiah, because without his birth, he's not going to grow up. He's not going to go to Calvary. Yeah. We're not going to be delivered from our sins. So it's part of God's plan of salvation, and God intervenes in human history to bring us that salvation through Jesus Christ, his son. So it's a significant event.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of times people can get caught up into the semantics of it, but the fact of the matter is we celebrate the birth of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whether you agree with what day it is or not, that's just the way it was set up. You know, obviously they're, you know, but the important part is that you're celebrating the birth of your Savior.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And acknowledging that Jesus Christ came into the world on this day through the miracle of a virgin birth.
Right. Yeah, which we're going to talk about. And I think when we get to heaven, I would like to find out and maybe eventually ask him what day were you actually born? Yes. And if he says, well, it was April 20th, I'd say, great. If he said it was October 4th, I'd say, great. If he said it was July 3rd, I'd say, great. If it was December 25th, great. Doesn't really matter.
No.
But the important thing, as you say, is the plan of salvation required this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to talk about Constantine, but December 20th, no.
Oh,
that's
darn.
Constantine's been pretty much beaten to death in the circles I hang out in.
Ooh.
But, you know, they put Constantine, after his conversion, felt that the Messiah, that Jesus's birth should be celebrated, and that this was a big pagan festival in Rome, and thought this would be a good day to do it, because everybody was used to partying, and they could Christianized the pagan holiday, which was done with many of the things.
Yeah.
And so most likely was not born December 25th.
Right.
I think almost everybody would agree with that.
Yeah. And the other part of it is, in ancient times, I mean, you didn't have streetlights. You did not have electricity.
Yeah.
So you relied just on the daylight. And, you know, in our parts of the world, the northern hemisphere, the daylight through the summertime up till the summer solstice increases.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it decreases mm-hmm. until you get to the winter solstice,
mm-hmm.
which we have the smallest amount of daylight. You know, we celebrate the birth of John the Baptist when there's the most daylight, and we celebrate the birth of Jesus when there's the least daylight because, you know, John himself said, I must decrease, he must increase.
Yeah.
You know, the light came into the world. Mm-hmm. And, there's ancient things that, because of our modern technology, we most likely forget about as to why maybe some of this was done, what their thinking was, those types of things. But the main point is we should be joyfully celebrating our salvation and the miracle and the great intervention that God did in human history to bring this about. And instead of, some of the things that we can get can distract us from that.
I mean, the more time that's gone on, and I guess I didn't think about this before when I was younger, and of course I didn't think about anything along these lines when I was younger, but
or did I?
The fact that he enters into time, space, and history is really pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And comes in a human body that developed from all this heredity that went before him.
Right.
And from Abraham all the way down the line, and literally, as we're going to talk about in a few minutes, is in fact the son of David, since both Mary and Joseph were from the house and lineage of David. You know, St. Luke tells us in the account we're going to read that they were from the house and the lineage of David, which is critically important because Messiah had to come from David,
mm-hmm.
as we talked about before from 2 Samuel chapter 7, I think it is.
Right.
But the fact that God comes into history and comes into time and comes in a form that is like the rest of us.
Yeah.
That really never dawned on me until the last few years that, you know, had done a lot of reading before I finally realized, well, this is really an unbelievable thing, which you really can't even grasp, and you can't really think about it without your mind going in all kinds of directions.
You know, many times we say we look through the history of the church through the lens of 2,000 years.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy for us to see it now.
Yeah.
You know, if your daughter was to come home and say, you know, this angel came to me and said, I'm going to bear the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not married. You would think she was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And most people would.
Yeah.
Most people think, okay, this is just some crazy story. So when we put ourselves into the situation and we ask ourselves, well, how would I react if this was happening in real time with me?
Mm-hmm.
The chances are we would act a lot differently and probably not get it right because mm-hmm. we really wouldn't see God moving.
Mm-hmm.
We would think, maybe this is just not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so this great act of God's love and mercy should be celebrated with, you know, with a lot of reverence and with a lot of joy
mm-hmm.
because he came into the world through the birth of a virgin.
Yeah.
He developed like any other human being developed in her womb mm-hmm. for 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's amazing just in itself.
It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's absolutely unbelievable. And we'll talk probably in the new year as, you know, kind of the different seasons unfold about how Jesus, as the giver of the covenant, subjects himself to the covenant. And but the whole thing that you just describe, you know, born of a woman, born under a law, born like any other baby was born, growing like any other child grows, and
mm-hmm.
having the same type of humanity, except without, of course, without sin.
Sin, yeah.
But this is why in the book of Hebrews it says we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses.
Yeah.
Because he knows how it feels. Like when Lazarus died, he wept.
Yeah, the shortest
because
sentence of the Bible.
Yeah, because the two sisters were crying. He was moved by that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go to a funeral home and you kind of know the person there who's died, but you don't really know the family, and you see two or three or four people in the family just crying and, you know, you get, as a human, you get caught up in that. You can be moved to tears even though you're not, you know, part of the family. You know, Jesus loved these two women. They were sad because their brother died.
Mm-hmm.
And so he weeps.
I mean, he has all the emotions that we have.
Yes, exactly.
You know, God created us with these wonderful gifts of emotion so that we can experience life to its fullness.
Yeah.
He gave us a gift of imagination. It just brings to mind that one person one time said that, you know, God gave us this beautiful gift of imagination to create things and to, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of times we just use it to scare ourselves because we let it run away. But the birth of Jesus, the birth of Yeshua, is a pivotal point in human history, and it's marked by, you know, for before Christ.
Yeah.
And after Christ.
Right.
You know, it's a separation of time.
Yes. And even the secular humanist liberals that we live with now still have to keep the calendar.
Yeah.
This is 2016, about to be 2017.
Yeah.
As much as they'd like to change it to something else.
There's a lot of things they'd like to change.
I'm surprised they haven't started like a new system to number the years. But anyway. But
out of control.
The coming in. And you know, two weeks ago, we did Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 7 about the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, mm-hmm. and call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Yeah.
So we're just talking about God coming into human history, coming into human experience, coming into every aspect of human existence, right down to the fact where he would say to his friends, I had enough for today. I'm tired. I'm going to go lie down for a while, or I'm going to go to bed. I had enough for today, or I'm tired of listening to you guys, or, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Or smelling some good food and say, oh, let's eat. Mm-hmm. You know, that smells really good.
Yeah.
Because he had the same, you know, you're talking about how we're created with imagination and creativity, but we're also created with senses.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the five senses, and we use them all in worship. And God wants us to use all our senses in worship. We see and we hear and we smell and we taste. And, I mean, everything, touch, all these things are part of the experience. And he comes into the human experience with those same senses.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, when he was a little boy and he fell and skinned his knee hurt. And, you know, he had a scrape on his knee.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, that really hurts. The human experience, just like any other little kid has.
Yeah.
Or when he was working in the carpenter shop, if he got a sliver or cut his finger with the blade of something,
mm-hmm.
it hurt.
Yeah.
All the experiences were there. And he's Emmanuel, God with us. And he wants God, many places in the scripture says that he wants to dwell with us.
Yeah.
Back in the book of Exodus, even when God's instructing everyone to build the sanctuary and all the altars and the menorahs and the sacred vessels and all the things, you know, he says, I want you to build this tabernacle so I can live with you.
Yeah.
I want to come and live with you. And it's a tabernacle comes from the word for tent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to live in the tent with you.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So he wants to tabernacle among them.
Yeah.
And, so that's the real meaning of Emmanuel, is God with us, so that you had the fullness of the Godhead living in Jesus of Nazareth.
Right.
Jesus of Nazareth could be walking along the Sea of Galilee, and if he wanted to, could create another galaxy somewhere in space.
That's true.
Because he would, of course, have the power to do that.
You think he would say, hey, watch this.
And we don't know. And we don't know if he did or not. But, you know, he has that power, but he's living with us in a very simple way. And I even found this cool verse the other night from Zechariah, who happens to be, I think, my favorite minor prophet. In chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to come and dwell in our midst. In the, when the people were in the wilderness and when they got to the land, they had the glory cloud, the Shekinah.
Right.
But here he's dwelling in their midst. You know, the first chapter of John, we're going to talk briefly about, says the word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Yeah.
In a very real way, just like you would look over and see Jesus, just like you would look over and see any other man who was walking by.
Mm-hmm.
He's living here with us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the awesomeness of just his birth. And, you know,
yeah,
that's why we celebrate it.
Yeah.
Because he's Lord.
Yeah. And we're going to talk, I mean, the whole Christmas story lends itself to talking about the humility and simplicity that was involved with this,
mm-hmm.
that was involved not only with Mary and Joseph, since they were simple, poor people, even mm-hmm. though they were from the house of David,
right?
Even though they were from a royal line,
right?
They were very simple people. There was no government then. The Romans ran everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to go back even to the book of Micah, who tells us that Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem, and you can read that for your homework. And Bethlehem means city of bread. You know, Bethlehem was built basically from the family of Judah by a guy named Salmon, who actually married Rahab the prostitute, and they settled down and had a baby who would become the father of Boaz, who would marry Ruth and become the great grandparents of David. So, you know, these were simple people, including a prostitute comes into the line, a simple woman who was not a Jew but was a Moabite comes into the line, and the whole plan of salvation points to this guy built the city of Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he had a big construction company. I don't know. But he built the city of Bethlehem. I mean, he probably had a great job.
Probably.
It was probably like a development. And they, you know, he lives at, they named it the city of bread. Now, this is prophetic. They wouldn't have realized that. You know, they were talking about bread. And, but Jesus, you know, calls himself the living bread, calls himself the bread of life. Says, "I'm the living bread come down from heaven."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this town of bread becomes the city of David, and he's the son of David.
Yeah.
And all these things are arranged beforehand. Ooh. This is a nice song.
Yeah.
Ooh. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Thank you. listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Was that Paul?
No.
No.
It was not.
It was Celine.
It's beautiful music for Christmas night. So
it is.
God coming into history, you know, I mentioned John chapter 1, but in John's first epistle, because of course John had three epistles, he talks about how they heard Jesus, they saw him, they looked at him, their hands felt him, and he was the word of life.
Yeah.
And he was the word that came from God. And he said, we've seen all this and we bear witness to you that he came from the Father.
Yeah.
Because we experienced him not as a glory cloud or not as a, you know, kind of a voice like Elijah heard or Moses heard, but experienced him in his humanity. And this is what we're talking about today, because, of course, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him.
Yeah.
And they experienced his humanity. They caught glimpses of his deity with the miracles and the transfiguration.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the big part of it. They just caught glimpses of it.
Yeah.
They experienced the humanity.
They experience his humanity. They experience the mercy of God through the miracles that he performed.
Yeah.
And you know, the miracles that he performed was really God wanting to restore fallen humanity.
Yes.
God wanting to raise up the lowly.
Yeah.
Heal the sick, and give sight to the blind. Because what did Jesus come to do? All those things that were in the prophecy of Isaiah: give sight to the blind, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the mute speak, the dead are raised.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the things that we should be focusing upon, if nothing else, for the dead are raised. I mean, we're dead in our transgressions without Christ.
That's right.
And we worry about what day he was born on.
That's right.
How silly is that? You know, get over it.
We worry about Constantine.
Yeah,
that's an excellent point. And it's what, you know, we talk about this in so many groups that we do and so many, I mean, all the ministry that we do is, you know, you come down to, you know, like I always say, you know, if you're sitting around saying, you know, my cholesterol is 2 points higher than it was 6 months ago. I mean,
who really cares?
I mean, who really cares? I mean, compared to the fact that you have salvation.
Yeah.
And, you know, not that you want to just, you know, give it all up and die right this minute, but in the order of things, it doesn't really, those things don't have eternal significance.
Right.
You can get carried away with taking care of your body.
Yeah, it's momentary.
Yeah. You can get, you know, we're living in temporary dwellings, you know, like a billion years from now. You're not going to remember what your cholesterol was and your blood pressure was. And you're not going to remember, you know, you had this skin problem or this foot problem or whatever it is, because that's going to be irrelevant to you.
Yeah.
But you're still going to be living somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the body that God gives us is a temple made by God's
hands.
And so we should care for it. We should take care of it. You know, and people do.
Yes.
People try and stay fit their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they can drop dead of a heart attack just the same as somebody who didn't take care of their body. There's no guarantee of all that. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't, you know, take care of yourself. But I think the main point that you're trying to emulate is that compared to the gift of salvation, all of that is really secondary. And, you know, we keep our eyes on Jesus because he's won the victory.
Yes.
He's gained for us the gift of salvation.
The victory that we can't win for ourselves.
We cannot win for ourselves.
We couldn't overcome sin if we worked on it every day of our life.
No matter how much we debate things or think that we're right about things or think that we're wrong about things, we can't earn our own salvation.
That's right. And you can have, you know, hundreds of theologians discussing all kind of fine points of things, but the message of salvation is that Jesus came as the perfect sacrifice, died for your sin and paid a price that you couldn't pay.
Yeah.
And now you can be saved. That's kind of like the whole nutshell of the good news.
Yeah.
So whether he was born on December 25th or February 2nd doesn't really matter.
Doesn't really matter.
Yeah. But anyway.
Doesn't really matter.
But since he's going to be born, since he was born, and since we should point out, we really shouldn't talk about Jesus in past tenses because he's the great I am. And even though there was a time that Jesus of Nazareth did not have a human body, there was never a time where he wasn't God, a second person of the Trinity. Exactly. So, you know, we have to keep that in mind.
Right.
So what we're commemorating here is that the second person of the Trinity becomes man.
Yes.
And then has both natures.
Yes.
And that's how he comes into time.
Yes.
And that he's in fact born of a virgin, as we're going to read about. And we talked last week or 2 weeks ago about the Isaiah and then about the Annunciation in Luke mm-hmm. chapter one, where the Virgin Mary has him conceived in her womb as a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's all kinds of other ideas out there, and we're not going to get into that. The kerygma, the nucleus of what we believe, is that he was born of a virgin. And this had to satisfy that prophecy from Isaiah, follows up what Gabriel tells her, because if he had a human father, he couldn't be Messiah.
True.
Very and true. After all that introduction, I still got more notes, but why don't you read, Stephen, the account from Luke, because I think Luke has a very cool description of everything. Luke chapter 2, I'll give you a second to flip to it. Put your Christmas cookies down. Open up your Bible.
Let me
aren't you like tired of Christmas cookies
by
now?
Let me put this eggnog down. Hold on. Okay. Now I'm only joking. So chapter 2, where do we want to start from?
Well, just read the nativity account.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region, living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Woo.
Wow.
That's pretty nice.
We sing about that. Yeah. Glory to God in the highest.
Mm-hmm. I sing all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's one of my favorites. Yeah. And it's interesting. In those days, you know, God does everything at appointed times.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why Messiah was born then and not 50 years before or 122 years later or, you know, 500 years later. There's a reason that it happens then. We can't understand all that, but it's interesting here how the stage is set. You know, this appointed time has come. The time had come, and it's a time where the Roman Empire is at peace. Mm-hmm. There's a Pax Romana. Nobody could make war with Rome. So the known world, I mean, there were wars going on in other places, I'm sure. But in the Mediterranean world and the Middle Eastern world, there was total peace because no one could fight Rome. So things were quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Caesar Augustus was the emperor. He was the leader of basically what they called the world. And you even see it in that account from Luke.
Mm-hmm.
The world should be enrolled. Now, right. They didn't enroll people in China. and they didn't know about people in North and South America, and they didn't know about people in Australia, but they were enrolling everyone in the Roman Empire, which was simply called the world.
Right.
And this was for tax purposes, as well as taking a census. Because, of course, they wanted to collect taxes, so they wanted to know where everybody was, how many people there were. Mm-hmm. This was kind of like the Roman IRS. But interestingly, this civil leader, who was arguably the most powerful man in the world at this point as the emperor of Rome, God uses him in the plan of salvation because he issues this decree. He says, you have to go back to your ancestral home.
Yeah.
You have to go where your family's from in order to be counted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he could have said, the decree could have been, go to your local post office and they'll count you, or go to your, you know, the local courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
So Mary and Joseph could have just gone to some building in Nazareth and been counted.
Right.
But no, he had to go to the ancestral home, to the family home. So the prophecy from Micah had to be fulfilled that Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem.
Yep.
He was going to be, the Messiah was going to come from there and was going to shepherd the people. And Caesar Augustus, the civil ruler, is used by God to make that plan.
Mm-hmm.
And also to emphasize that the family and the tribe connections were very, very important.
Yeah.
Because Messiah, of course, had to be from the tribe of Judah and had to be descended from David.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not everybody in the tribe of Judah was descended from David, but everybody descended from David was in the tribe of Judah, which included Joseph and Mary. So if you read the genealogy, which we're going to spare you.
Oh, I was hoping that I could read that.
Maybe next week.
I was practicing.
Oh, maybe next. You know it by heart.
No.
But the genealogy, which is so important at the time, showed these connections and takes great pains to show you how Joseph and Mary are both descended from David. They have basically right. the same lineage. They have only one ancestor who's different. And it's important to know that because by Joseph being Jesus's, I guess, foster father, right, would be the correct term.
Yes, sir.
Not really a step, not a stepfather, be a foster
no, father.
Father.
Yeah.
So by him being the, let's use the word father, small f, he would give Jesus the right to rule
mm-hmm.
from David. He would have the right to say, he's from the royal line. He could sit on the throne. And also through Mary, he would have the biological right because right. Joseph was not his father.
Right.
So through Mary, right. he has the biological right. From Joseph, he has the legal right.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got the kingship to sit on the throne of David from both of these people.
Well, you know, when we talk about how we're adopted sons and daughters,
yeah.
how the adopted child has the same rights and is entitled to the same everything of the family.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same, it's the same thing that applies here. Jesus is born of a woman, Mary,
mm-hmm.
but there's also a man that's involved. He's not the biological father, but as you said, there's, what's in place is that this prophecy is fulfilled that he's of the tribe of Judah
mm-hmm.
and he comes from the town of Nazareth in mm-hmm. Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Nazareth, interestingly, I don't think we did a show from, I think I'm thinking of one in Messiah. I don't think we did a show from Isaiah 11 about the shoot will come out of Jesse.
Oh yeah. That is one of Messiah.
Woo. And,
this little shoot.
Yeah, you know, this little green shoot comes out of the stump of Jesse. But interestingly, the Hebrew word that's used for that shoot, and I forgot to mention it when I did the talk. I didn't think of it till later, and I just thought of it again. The Hebrew word that's used for that little shoot is the word Netzar, and I may not be pronouncing it right, but it's the root word that Nazareth comes from. Nazareth actually meant, you know, it was a place of little branches, little trees.
Okay.
So it's fascinating that Messiah, who's the shoot from the stump of Jesse, ends up living in a place that's, you know, called the place of little branches.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. As you're talking about that, I'm thinking about how when Jesus talks about the mustard seed mm-hmm. and how it grows into this one of the biggest plants mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. from this tiny little seed to yeah. this biggest, you know, plant.
Yeah.
And the sprout from the shoot of Jesse mm-hmm. is this little green sapling.
Yes.
That buds forth and blossoms.
Yes, that's very weak. Doesn't look like much when you see a little green shoot.
Well, yeah, because it could be easily just,
yeah.
you know, wiped out.
Oh, yeah.
And so too is Messiah. You know, he that's comes right. as a baby.
Yes.
An infant who is defenseless.
Yes.
Dependent upon his mother and father mm-hmm. for protection.
That's right.
And nourishment and yeah. food and all those other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like you're saying that, okay, Caesar, God used Caesar Augustus to bring Joseph and Mary back to their native mm-hmm. home mm-hmm. so that prophecy can be fulfilled.
Yeah, he had to be born there.
So too yeah. does God use Joseph and Mary to care for his own son.
Yes.
I mean, he places his own son in the care of two human beings.
Yes.
I mean,
who were nobody special.
Who were nobody special. And I mean, isn't that in itself equally amazing
mm-hmm.
as the infant birth of a virgin?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
maybe not equally amazing, but it's still amazing that God would trust
yeah.
two human beings for the birth of his son
yeah.
and to raise him and to care for him.
Yeah. You see the whole circumstances of this account you just read, this whole nativity account. It's very poor circumstances.
Yeah.
I mean, the location was dirty.
They couldn't find
there
an
were
inn.
Animals. They yeah. couldn't find a nice place to stay.
Did they check on Trivago or anything?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Everything was booked.
Oh, man.
You know, they're on the computer going, yeah. man, there's no rooms around here. And they're in this place where there's animals and there's dirt and there's hay. I mean, it's the place where animals lived, where animals ate.
Not a sanitary
and
place for a bird.
This is how the Creator comes into time.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he's the Ancient of Days, but he comes into time in this terrible looking place.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you were be walking by there, you'd say, man, look at these poor people. Look at that poor baby being born over here.
Yeah.
You would think like, man, couldn't they have gone someplace nicer?
And yet he's the Messiah.
Ooh, this is a nice song.
Yeah.
Wow. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long live the world in sin and in pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. His name, all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all
you're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's a beautiful song.
Yeah, it is.
And I hope you're all having an awesome Christmas day. But in this poor situation, this the Ancient of Days here, this is the Son of David with no glory, no comfort, no riches. As you mentioned, a couple that are basically assigned to his care, mm-hmm. that are simple working people, probably not educated, definitely not rich, but good people, hardworking people. And here's Joseph thinking he's going to marry this young woman that he loves, and they're going to settle down, and they're going to have a family, and he's going to have a carpenter business. And all of a sudden, he's in this situation with the Son of God laying, the creator of everything, lying in a pile of straw.
You know, if you think about it, how this the image that's here of Mary and Joseph trying to find an inn, they can't find anything because they're all full.
Yeah.
And you know, you think John the Baptist was going out, make straight the way of the Lord, prepare a path for him, prepare your hearts. Mary and Joseph come with the infant in Mary's womb, and there's no room for them. And see, I mean, this is the real point of Advent and Christmas, that is a lot of times overlooked, is that there's no room for Jesus.
Mm.
In our culture today, there's no room for Jesus. We think there is, but do we really look at the infancy narrative and understand that, you know, we may have a lot of presents under the tree. We may have all these gifts and everything because we're emulating the wise men or, you know, Santa Claus and all this other stuff. But Jesus was born into a very poor situation.
Mm-hmm.
And God, what does he provide Mary and Joseph with? the basic necessities, because his son is the bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
And he places him in a feeding trough.
Mm-hmm.
Of all places,
mm-hmm.
a feeding trough. Because he's going to be our food.
Mm-hmm.
And God didn't provide Mary and Joseph with millions of dollars, you know, a lot of gold so they can get the nicest, fanciest hotel.
Even hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds of dollars.
Even tens of dollars.
He didn't give them a Beamer or a Mercedes or anything like that, or any other fancy car. He didn't even give them a chariot.
Yeah.
They were on a mule, a donkey, traveling afoot. And I think it greatly contradicts what a lot of prosperity preachers preach.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not about wealth. It's about wealth in God.
Amen.
Faith in God. Our riches, you know, we worship the one whom we adore.
Mm-hmm.
And if I worship money, then that's what I adore. If I worship my prestige, then that's what I adore. But to worship Jesus Christ and to worship God mm-hmm. is to humble ourselves before him
yeah.
and empty ourselves yeah. that we can become rich in him.
That's right. You know, Paul points out, I think it's in Ephesians about, you know, he became poor so we could have riches.
Yeah.
And this yeah. is the perfect example, this whole setting that we yeah. see here. And if you're sitting someplace in your home where you can see a nativity scene, forget it. It didn't look anything like that. It was messy. It was dirty.
Yeah.
There was blood and fluid everywhere. It was just an unbelievable scene. Many of you have seen babies be born. Many of you have seen newborn babies. And we see them in hospitals after everything's been cleaned up and nice.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, this is not cleaned up and nice.
Right.
Having a baby is messy business. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things that God told Eve, because you did this, you're going to have pain in childbirth and it's going to be a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, men didn't sit around in a labor room and watch babies be born then. You know, poor Joseph, he had to kind of be there because yeah. there was no place else for him to go.
Right.
And this was a scene that, and we don't know who else was there, but this is a scene that not only is humble and poor, but it's a human experience that Jesus enters into in kind of the simplest, most common way.
Yeah.
And in a simple, common place that's even our poor people in this country would never have a baby in a barn surrounded by animals and put the baby in the trough.
Yeah.
You know, you would go to a hospital.
Yeah.
And this is where the Son of Man comes into the world.
Yeah. It's incredibly amazing that this is the scene that takes mm-hmm. place for his birth.
Yeah.
And then there's this multitude of angels
Ooh.
That appears.
Yeah. Yeah.
And proclaims this birth to the shepherds, who were not even allowed to be witnesses
that's
in the court
right,
of law.
That's right.
They're witnesses to something yeah. so divine and so, you know, so transformative in human history, but yet in their own culture, they couldn't be a witness in a court
that's
of law.
Right.
It's amazing.
They're thought to be untrustworthy.
Yeah.
I got more stuff. We're going to have to do some
another Christmas show. Yes. Okay.
Well, once two. Again, instead of saying it's mm-hmm. have an awesome Lord's Day, I hope you've had a tremendously fun and blessed Christmas. Merry Christmas to everyone from Gift of Grace Ministries, and we'll be back next week.
Amen. And we just pray that the rest of your Christmas day and Christmas season would be filled with the grace and the glory of God and in Jesus Christ, our Messiah, who came as an infant, a child, to be loved, adored, and honored. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.